Shaking the reins, Jack rode over to that section and studied the pattern of the scuff marks in the dirt.
Bullshit. Fake trail.
Walking his mount to the other side of the riverbed, he slid off and looked over the ground. Not a mark showed in the soil, and not a leaf was out of place in the grass.
This way.
Drawing his blaster, the team stepped out of the riverbed and started through the field of green grass. Dean took the reins and led the way, the rest of the companions following close behind. Nobody questioned the Cajun. Jack was the best tracker among them. Ryan moved to the left, the Steyr resting across the saddle, and JB took the right side, the Uzi tight in his fist. Both men scrutinized the trees ahead of them, while Doc and Mildred kept a watch behind. The field stretched for more than a mile, trees growing in scattered stands, which grew closer and closer together until the companions were proceeding through a lush grove. The trees gave off the rich aroma of eucalyptus, and Mildred pulled off several handfuls to stuff into her med kit. Several times Jack altered course for no discernible reason, and the others followed, even though there was no indication of anything having passed that way.
Damn, they're good.
We're better.
Ryan tracked a motion in the trees. Then a monkey with four arms scampered out of the greenery, pursued by a gang of norm chimps who snarled and slavered in blind fury, the bull males culling the troop of a mutie. The sky was darkening when they arrived at a large vista of black stone. The irregular plain of congealed lava extended for hundreds of yards. Jack didn't even pause as he changed direction and headed for a low rise, a momentary swell in the lava flow that had become trapped forever in time. Cresting the rise, he easily walked down a gentle slope into a deep ravine. At the bottom was a pre-dark road, the pavement stained and cracked, weeds growing tall through every crevice. Even in the early evening light, Ryan could see that several of the stalks were bending back into shape from something recent pushing them aside.
Here less than an hour ago.
Rat.
The ancient road meandered through the dense weeds as if based upon the path of a snake. The cracks became wider and more pronounced until the slabs of pavement were islands in the soggy earth. Soon they were riding through a marsh, the muddy water almost a foot deep. Clumps of decaying trees dotted the surface, and occasionally the bloated body of a drowned animal floated by. Ryan slowed his horse.
Watch for pools of still water. Could be a sinkhole. Break a leg stepping into one of those.
Or quicksand.
Following the wash of the stagnant water, the companions walked their mounts through the sodden landscape until the mud turned to grass, and they were back on dry ground again. Another forest of tropical trees grew to the east, stretching to the mountains. Tall peaks of brown stone that reached for the clouds. To the west and north was the start of the jungle, the array of bushes, bamboo, and vines seeming impassable without machinery.
There, gate!
Moving incredibly fast, Ryan fired the 6-hour twice, the silenced weapon coughing gently. There was a stirring in the bushes, and two men dressed in mottled green dropped their flintlock long blasters and fell to the ground, both of them bleeding from the throat. Spreading out, the companions did a quick wreck of the area and found no more hidden guards. Dismounting, they checked the fallen guards and found one of them still breathing, the blood bubbling from the ghastly wound in his neck. Ryan cut the man's throat with a smooth stroke of the panga, the blade curving along the neck as if designed specifically for that function. On closer inspection, the wall of bamboo was false, the tubular plants resting on some old splintery wood with a central pivot buried in the soil. Ryan pushed on one side, and the other swung outward. Ryan took the point and went inside first. To the left was a corral of horses, to the right a bubbling spring of naturally carbonated water. He whistled like a mountain lark, and the others came through the gate, weapons in hand. Tethering their mounts on the outside of the corral in case they needed to leave quickly, they fell into line. Ryan on point, Doc in the middle, JB at the rear. A wide path led through the bamboo grove, and Ryan found two more hidden guards. The first was a massive hound. It wasted its only chance to give a warning by growling at the companions. Ryan aced the dog nice and quiet, the Sig Sauer delivering a 9mm round directly into its left eye. The other guard was a man who burst from cover to throw a spear. Ryan dodged the spear, but his slug only grazed the man's neck, a geyser of blood spurting from the nicked artery. Grabbing the wound, the man opened his mouth to scream, and a knife slammed into his temple.
Oh.
With a sigh, the guard collapsed to the ground and died. Jack reclaimed his blade and wiped it clean on the corpse's shirt. There was a clearing in the bamboo forest, and the land started to slope toward an imposing barrier of punji sticks and thorny vines. A click sounded from the companions, and Ryan and JB quickly looked at the rad counters on their lapels. The background count had increased, but not significantly.
They live in a rad pit.
An inclined earthen ramp offered direct access through the punji sticks and into the pit. Sounds could be heard coming from below now. Laughter, a steady thumping, and the murmur of voices. As quietly as possible, the companions crept along the outer perimeter of the hole until locating a vantage point in a pool of shadows cast by the setting sun. Distant thunder rumbled, warning of an approaching storm, as JB swept the hill below with his long eyes. About a dozen huts stood at the bottom of the blast crater, simple arrangements of tanned skin over a hinged skeleton of aged wood, similar to the yurts of the Mongol hordes. There were several work areas, with oldsters busy making things with their bare hands. An old man sat on a rock, carving a comb from bone, and a young woman was using a scrap piece of rock to scrape a stretched piece of hide as a preparation for curing. A stream trickled out of the bamboo forest, going down the sloped side of the crater and through the punji stick wall, and forming a pool at one end of the vill. In the center was a banked pile of glowing red coals, ready to cook dinner. About 40 people, adults and children, were walking about in loincloths and crude sandals. Here, in the safety of their home, the gray men had removed their camo. They were covered with tattoos, but appeared to be norms. Near the center of the vill was a pit in the ground covered with a lid of stout logs and guarded by several of the women, each armed with a long spear. As the companions watched, an arm clawed through the wooden grating, and the women stabbed it back down into the pit, the tips of their spears becoming dabbed with crimson in the process. The lid was then removed, and the gray men jabbed at the trapped people until one was forced to exit the prison. Instantly he was swarmed upon and ropes tied to his arms and legs. With five or six tattooed people on each rope, the chosen prisoner was hauled to a tree and held there helpless as unspeakable things were done to the man until he was dead. Doc looked away.
Kenny's.
He had encountered man-eaters before, but this methodical processing of the aced man was demonic. It demeaned humans to no more than cattle.
Any sign of Anne?
JB moved the brass scope around the camp.
Not yet. Got a live round, says she's in that hole, though.
Need diversion. Stampede horses? Set fire bamboo?
We could use several diversions, my friend. There are a lot more Kennys than there are of us.
Ryan rubbed his jaw. If they knew which tent contained the stores of black powder for the blasters, they could toss in some firebombs and rock the whole vill. The stampede wasn't a bad idea, except that the horses were as passive as an old eunuch, and most of their explosives were in the lost munitions bag. This was going to require some thought. Christy pointed to the scene below.
Whatever we're going to do, we'd better do it soon. They're getting the tree ready for another prisoner.
Unslinging his long blaster, Ryan handed it to Mildred, along with most of his spare ammo mags. Then he pulled out the panga and started drawing in the dirt.
Okay, here's the plan.
Searching around, Christy found a flat rock and slid it carefully to the very edge of the crater, then wiggled it snugly into the dirt to make sure it wouldn't move. Setting the Steyr SSG-70 on the rock, the woman placed a handkerchief on the ground nearby and laid out a neat row of the extra mags for the long blaster. Taking a look through the scope, she could see the cannies and wire-sharp detail, and practiced moving the crosshairs from one to another. Very soon now. Taking position inside a clump of young bamboo, Mildred used a knife to gently saw through some of the jointed tubes until she had a good view of the secret vill below. Taking a tiny piece of a bandage from her medkit, the physician rubbed it in the dirt until it was no longer white, but a dull brown. Tying it to the end of a bamboo stick, Mildred eased it into the open, where a breeze stirred the strip of cloth. Thrusting the other end of the stick into the ground, the physician watched the fluttering rag and tried to gauge the wind by shear. She had never attempted this great a distance with her ZKR target pistol, not even back when she went for the gold medal in the Olympics. But lives were riding on her accuracy today, not just a medal. If they wanted to live the night, there was blood to be spilled. Somehow, the physician didn't think the Olympic Committee would have approved. Forcing his way into the stands of tough bamboo, Dean got his blaster ready for a fight. If the advance party was found, Christy and Mildred would give them cover to reach the top. Then he was to give everybody cover to reach the horses. Then they would cover his